Proving God. The president of the New York Scientific Society once gave 8 reasons why he believed there was a God. The first was this: take 10 coins and mark them 1 to 10. Place them in your pocket. Now take one out. There is 1 chance in 10 that you will get number 1. Now replace it, and the overall chance that number 2 follows number 1 is not 1 in 10, but 1 in 100. With each new coin taken out, the risk will be multiplied by 10, so that the chance of 10 following 9 is 1 in 10,000 million, or 10 billion. It seems so unbelievable to me that I immediately took pencil and paper and very quickly discovered he was right. Try it yourself. Now that is why George Gallup, the American statistician, says, "I could prove God statistically." Take the human body alone. The chance that all its functions would just happen is statistical monstrosity. Now surely, no thoughtful person would wish to base their internal future on a statistical monstrosity. Perhaps this is why the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The first cause. Suppose we are standing at an airport, watching a big jet coming in for a landing. I say to you, a lot of people think that plane is the result of someone's carefully designed plans, but I know better. There was really no intelligence at work on it at all. In some strange way, the metal just came out of the ground and fashioned itself into flat sheets. And then these metal sheets slowly began to grow together and form the body and wings and tail. Then after a long while, the engines slowly grew in place. And one day, some people came along and discovered the plane, all finished and ready to fly. You would probably consider me a lunatic and move farther into the crowd to escape my senseless chatter. Why? You know that where there is a design, there must be a designer. And having seen other products of the human mind, just like the plane in question, you are positive that it was planned by human intelligence and built by human skill. Yet there are highly educated, professional men who tell us that the entire universe came into being by chance, that there was really no higher intelligence at work in it. They claim to know no God but nature. On the other hand, there are many thoughtful men who believe that God is transcendent, namely that while he reveals himself in nature, in its laws and principles are expressions of his power and wisdom. He himself is greater than the universe. But all that atheists can offer us is the riddle of design without a designer, of creation without a creator, of effect without cause. Now every thoughtful person believes in a series of causes and effects in nature, each effect becoming the cause of some other effect. The acceptance of this as fact logically compels one to admit that there must be a beginning to any series. There could never have been a first effect if there had not been a first cause. This first cause to me is deity. Believing is seeing. Although man has discovered many of the laws that govern electricity, even the greatest scientists cannot really define it. Then why do we believe it exists? Because we see the manifestations of its existence in our homes and industries and streets. Though I do not know where God came from, I must believe he exists, because I see the manifestations of him everywhere around me. Dr. Wernher von Braun, director of NASA research and developer of the rocket which put America's first space satellite into orbit, says, "In our modern world, many people seem to feel that our rapid advances in the field of science render such things as religious belief untimely or old-fashioned. They wonder why we should be satisfied in believing something when science tells us that we know so many things. The simple answer to this contention is that we are confronted with many more mysteries of nature today than when the age of scientific enlightenment began. With every new answer unfolded, science has consistently discovered at least 3 new questions. The answers indicate that everything as well ordered and perfectly created as are our Earth and universe must have a maker, a master designer. Anything so orderly, so perfect, so precisely balanced, so majestic as this creation can only be the product of a divine idea." The late Professor Edwin Conklin, a noted biologist, very aptly said, "The problem of life originating from accident is comparable to the probability of Chambers' dictionary resulting from an explosion in a printing shop."